what do I want to talk about first? Let's talk about, okay, we're on the other side of the 15th day. Shabbos was the 15th day of Av. And now we're all looking towards the month of Elul. Elul is a scary month. For once we're in Elul, we're looking at Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. So pretty much, as everyone says, after Tu B'Av, the summer is
over.
Yes, you're all going to get in that last week, Chaparayim. But the summer is over, and we're looking towards the serious part of our year. Very scary, scary thing. You know, people always give a reason for when people die. So they always ask, you know, because you want to make sure that you're not part of it. So, like, if someone dies of cancer, you're like, did he smoke? You know, the guy says, yes. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I don't smoke. So I'm not going to die of cancer, you know? And everyone's looking for the reason of death so they can say, oh, I'm not going to die because I'm not doing what that guy does. You know, I'm in shape, or I'm this, or I'm that. And you know, there's always a reason this person, how long did he have cancer? 3 months. How long was he sick? 6 months. And really, like I said last week, and I think I said it here, that the Mashgiach of Mir, you know, when they said that this man caught a cold in February, so he said no. He caught a cold on Yom Kippur. Doesn't mean a physical cold. If he would have davened good on Yom Kippur, and he would have davened good on Rosh Hashanah, then he would have been written in the Book of Life. So whatever happens to you during the year is based on those 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. Because on Rosh Hashanah, the Tzaddikim are written in and the Rishonim are written in. But the Beinonim, which most of us are, where Hashem says, well, we're just going to leave it open a little bit and, you know, we're going to see what happens. So the Beinonim, Hashem leaves till Yom Kippur. And it's finally written and signed on Yom Kippur. So everything that goes on in our year, whether it's financially, we find the shidduch, having children, all these different lists that we have, didn't happen during the year. It happened on Yom Kippur. So Elul is our preparation, those 30 days, for our court case on Rosh Hashanah. Now, some of us are judged on Rosh Hashanah, and sometimes not judged for good. And as anyone here knows who's ever been in court, that once a judge says guilty, then you got to go to appeals court. And an appeals court, the percentage of winning an appeals court is extremely low. Once it's written that you're guilty, it's very hard to change. You got to try to change it before you become guilty. Now, when they call you in Rosh Hashanah night, when they call you neshama in front of the Bezin Shamayla, in front of the court, so they ask, and we'll get to that story in 4 weeks from now, three, 4 weeks from now. So they ask all your mitzvahs to get on one side of the scale, and they ask all your averis to get on the other side of the scale. So many of us at this point may be very weak on our mitzvah side and very heavy on our averis side. So now's our chance. We have about 40 days to do as many mitzvahs to put on our tzitzis, which is an easy mitzvah, which you get every second of mitzvah. I still don't understand guys who walk around without tzitzis on. It makes absolutely no sense. It is the easiest mitzvah that Hashem gave us. It's like His present to us. Every second, right? It's like that turn hour watch. You ever see that on the corner, turn hour corner, and the seconds are flying, right? So those every mini second you see on turn hour's watch over there, you're getting a mitzvah for wearing your tzitzis. You have to be out of your mind not to wear tzitzis. If you ask a guy, why don't you wear tzitzis? He'll say, they're itchy. You can see it through my shirt, you know? So now they came out with these tzitzis that is part of your undershirt. It's like an undershirt with tzitzis. So there's like really no excuse. It's such an easy mitzvah. You're coming with 40 days of Rosh Hashanah. That's 40 days. You do the amount of hours that you wear your tzitzis every second. You're getting a mitzvah. You're going to put all these hundreds of thousands of malachim on your scale. Why wouldn't you wear? I understand tefillin. It's hard. It's uncomfortable. This, whatever you're going to tell me. But tzitzis, you don't even know that you're wearing them after a while. So Yitzhara very much tries to get guys not to wear tzitzis. Very silly, silly thing. You know, yarmulke is not a mitzvah from the Torah. But tzitzis is not that you shouldn't wear a yarmulke, but tzitzis is a mitzvah from the Torah. Every second that you wear them, you get a mitzvah. I don't understand. Why wouldn't you put that on? That is like such an easy mitzvah. And guys don't wear tzitzis. Lomivin, I don't understand. But anyway, so these 40 days are 40 days of preparation for us to get our court case in shape so that we get it written into good parnasa, so we don't have to get onto that list. And that we're not going to be sick, and that you're going to find your shidduch, and people don't have children, are going to have children, and all the good things. The work you got to do is now. Now you got is what you got to do. And if you get the written in the right books, Rosh Hashanah, then it's very hard for them to kick you out of those right books. It's very hard for them to get you out of those right books. So, the question arises like this. If you open up a Shulchan Aruch or a Mishnah Brura, it says that Elul is called Elul for many reasons, but one of those reasons is that it stands for Ani L'Dodi U'L'Dodi Li. I am for my loved one, and my loved one is for me. That's very nice and very romantic, but what does that have to do with Elul? And what does that have to do with Rosh Hashanah? That's something that Shlomo HaMelech would write. But what does it have to do with me asking forgiveness from Hashem? On top of that, there's another question. Ani L'Dodi L'Dodi Li is Ahava. I'm to my loved one, and my loved one is to me. Right? That's loving Hashem, and Hashem loves me. But we know that from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur is 10 days of din. Very tough days. We're scared, we're fasting, we're nervous, we're saying slichot, right? I know that the Sfaradim say slichot the whole month. That's when we get you back for the 9 days. That, you know, you don't got the 9 days, we don't got the whole month slichas, you know? But they say slichas every day, and we don't, we just say the week before. I think this year it's a very short week. But Lamaisa, those days are very, very scary days. Now, if Elul, and then after that comes the days of love, Sukkot, Simchat Torah, Shmini Atzeres, which is the top of the day of love. It's called the Zivug of the marriage, the Zivug even more, whatever. In the Zohar it talks about the Shmini Atzeres is like the top. So we first have that fear, like you before a chassan gets married. So he's nervous, he goes under the chuppah, he's fasting a whole day, that's Yom Kippur. Then comes all the lovey-dovey stuff. Sukkot, we sit, we say the Ushpizin, right? We invite Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov in. We sit in the sukkah with Hashem. We leave our house. We're with the Kala. Very happy times. So if you're preparing Elul before the 10 days of fear, that means that Elul should be a preparation of fear to get to the days of fear. And then when you finish the days of fear, comes the love. Here you have, I need L'Dodi L'Dodi Li, I love you, you love me. And then all of a sudden fear, and then all of a sudden love again. So what's up with this beginning of 30 days in Elul, which is coming up soon, of love? It should be fear. And anyway, if you're preparing for a court case, you're nervous. So there's a very, very beautiful answer, and I think this is a little bit what I'm going to focus on in the beginning of my share tonight. And the answer is that Elul, what we do in Elul is we're planning. In other words, if I get into my car and I want to go from the George Washington Bridge to Monticello in the mountains, right? I want to go look at that pool room from last year that's closed and now they're selling window shades. I go by it all the time. You should just know that. I drive by, it's closed, it's a window shade store. I'm like, who owns Monticello?
God.
Hashem owns Monticello. Anyway, so if you're looking from Washington, you want to go from the Washington Bridge to Monticello, so you put into your GPS, right, where you're going. You want to go to Monticello. So you have to plan, whenever you do something, you have to plan where you're going. Now, if you want to go to Monticello and you put into your GPS Florida, you're going the other way on 95, totally the other way. So in Elul, this is what Elul is, boys. In Elul, you're programming your GPS, your programming, what I want to do before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and in those 10 days. You're planning on what am I going to do? What am I going to change? Is it going to be movies? Is it going to be other places? Is it going to be gambling? Is it going to be drinking? Is it going to be Lashon Hara? Is it going to be talking in shul? Is it not going to Minyan? Is it going to be not keeping Shabbos? What's my plan? What am I plugging into my GPS? Where am I going? You got to have a plan. Where are you going? Right? Am I getting off Facebook? I just want you to know that continuously, I should have brought it tonight. Next week, Amir Hashem, this girl wrote me a 2-page email, right, how she got off Facebook and it totally changed her life and her friends are making her crazy, right, and that she brought, whatever, I'm going to read it to you. How it changed her life, the guys that used to get try to contact her, don't know where to find her, and it totally changed her whole life. So we have to have a plan in Elul. What's our plan? Now, very scary, and I spoke last night, I was in Camp Sternberg, and I spoke in Camp Sternberg. It was very interesting. Nebuchadnezzar, I scared them last night. So I didn't mean to scare them, but, you know, in Camp Sternberg for girls, there's 1,500 girls there. They live out in the woods. And so they have this, like, room where when I go to speak, you know, they're all in there. And I gave them a whole speech of last week about that I used to be a hockey player and that I punched this guy out in the middle of the Beis Medrash and that my Rebbe taught me how to control my temper and control my anger, and Baruch Hashem, since then, I'm totally in control, I don't lose my temper, I take that temper, instead of, I didn't use the word pity, by the way, the new word is compassion. You change your anger, really, that's the right word, because pity is a balgaiva. You know, oh, I have pity on you, you poor guy. That's wrong, that's not the right word. You have compassion for the other person. So I was telling them that, you know, you have to learn to take that anger when you're really angry at someone because they just insulted you, and turn it into compassion, right? And as I'm saying, turn it into compassion, there's a girl in the crowd that sneezes, right? And I'm saying, you have to turn it into compassion. She goes, "Hachu," and I'm like, "You sneeze in the middle of my speech! What's wrong with you?" And they all jumped, and they all went like, I said, "Just kidding." "Just kidding. I told you I don't get angry anymore." And they're like, it took them like 5 minutes to get it, you know? I was like, oh my goodness, I'm not doing that again. It was like, wow, it was like 5 minutes, they were all like, oh, like, he's gonna take a hockey stick, you know, and come around, you know, one of those, anyway, so you have to be careful when you're a Rebbe, that, you know, you want to be funny, you gotta be careful, you know, what you say, but anyway, you have to have a plan, you gotta come up with a plan, you gotta put in your GPS, what you're gonna change this year, because, remember what you promised you weren't gonna do this year, last year, guess what, most of us are still doing it, so, now, we're very smart, and we have to get a plan, like on your GPS, which roads to take, because, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to myself. A lot of the things that I stood on Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, and said, I'm going to change, I really tried, but a lot of it didn't change. So now I got to look back at my battle that I lost, and I got to look at what I did wrong, and I got to look at how am I going to change it this year and win the battle. That's Elul. The month that's coming up is a month of Ani L'Doidi L'Doidi Li. Now, why does it mean I'm going to be for Hashem, Hashem's going to be for me? Because the truth is, guys, that we cannot beat the Yetzer Hara. He is a malach, and we are human. So, to beat the Yetzer Hara, you need God. You need Hashem. 2 weeks ago, I was standing here in Flatbush by Landau's. I had finished davening. This little kid came out of shul. I don't know, maybe he was 7 years old. And I haven't been standing there. So the light changed, and he came over to me, and he said, "Could you cross me? Could you cross me?" He said it in Yiddish, really. And he said, "Could you cross me, you know, across the street?" "Of course I'll cross you." So we will look this way, because I wanted to teach him, you know. And we looked that way, even though the light was the right way. And I said, "Okay, when you look both ways, there's no cars coming, we can cross." He looked at me like there was something wrong with me, okay? And I crossed him. And then he ran down the block. I said to myself, hold on. Listen carefully. He doesn't know me. Why did he trust me? Why did he trust me to cross him? Maybe I'm some meshugana, and I like to run between cars. So I'm going to wait till the last second until the car's right in front of us, and then we're going to cross. This kid never saw me before in his life. Okay? He's too young to watch TorahAnytime.com. So he doesn't know what I look like. He doesn't know what I look like, right? Why did he trust me to cross him in the middle of Avenue L, right, where cars are going all the time, that maybe this crazy man is just going to leave me in the middle of the street, and he doesn't know me. I'm not his Rebbe. I'm not his father. I'm not his cousin. I'm not his uncle. Why did he trust me? Because I'm an adult. And he trusts adults. Doesn't know me at all, right? There's a certain trust. There's a certain trust. When he put his hand into my hand, that this hand that he's holding is not going to hurt him. And he's going to be very careful before this hand, because he doesn't know me more than he knows my hand. He doesn't know who I am. So my hand is connected to me, but Lamaisa, he's holding my hand very tight that this man, whoever he is, I trust across the street, right? So that's a hand in a hand. So when it says that Elul is Ani L'daydi L'daydi Li, it means exactly the same thing. The Jew put out your hand to Hashem in the month of Elul. And it brings down in Kabbalah that in the month of Elul, you don't have to go to Hashem, but God comes into the world and goes around the world to see how we're all doing before this big court case. So, all you need to say is, Hashem, listen, I got a lot of situations that I got to cross. If after 120 years, you're going to see all the cars that just missed you, and all the trees that fell right behind your head when you were walking down the block, and all the drunken people on the Palisades Parkway you drove by that were really drunk and at any second could have killed you, and buses that are, the guy's falling asleep at the bus. So many things you're going to see how Hashem saved you. And so many times you wanted to buy a stock and you put the order in too late and the stock fell. You didn't even follow it afterwards. And so many times you wanted to make an investment, you would have lost everything. And one time you didn't want to make an investment, Hashem got this guy to bump into you, happened to be eating lunch. Your whole life is crossing the street 100 million times. Crossing the street. And who's the hand that holds you? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the month of Elul is a month where it's Ani L'daydi L'daydi Li. It's a month that we understand, and really, you know, this is what I spoke to the girls about last night. I don't know how to get this point across, and I can't tell you why I'm plugged in, because I can't really tell you why I'm plugged in this way. But a person who wants to be successful in life has to be plugged into Hashem 24/7. Now, what does that mean, you're plugged into Hashem 24/7? That means that everything you do, right, you have to go to, you know, this happened today, I drove to Pennsylvania today. So it was like 268 miles from the mountains to get to Hershey Park. I had to get to Hershey Park. No, I didn't go on any rides. I don't eat any of the chocolates because I'm lactose intolerant. Don't eat cholvachim. But I went there actually to sell them bags. That's what I went. And I was driving. And I had to go to the bathroom. And it was a stretch there where there were no bathrooms. And I wasn't going to go off into some house or whatever it was. And then all of a sudden, as I'm driving, I saw a sign. And it said, you know, it has these signs like when you get off an exit, even though it looked like there was only farmland over there. But they have like, they'll show you if there's a store, and if there's a hotel, and if there's a gas station. And it was Baruch Hashem, a gas station. So as I'm going off the exit, I'm talking to God. I'm serious. I'm like, Hashem, you don't even know. Well, you do, but thank you so much, because if this was 2 miles from me, I don't know what would have happened. I'm serious. So I was like, you're talking to Hashem all the time. You go to the bathroom, talk to Hashem. You're hungry, and you go to a restaurant, the food's good. You have to really be what Elo, Anila Daily. It's me and you, God. It's me and you, God. It's me and you. And I was telling the girls last night that they're up in the mountains, and it's a beautiful camp. They got lakes, and they got, you know, butterflies and trees. It's very wooded. It's you know, wild raspberries and wild blackberries. And I'm like, you don't even understand. You don't even understand. Because we don't think like this. I don't know why I think like this. I can't really tell you why. It's just somewhere that I, growing up, I guess, I don't know. But I got very close to Hashem. And you're in this painting. It's like sort of going to the Museum of Art. And, you know, you have all these paintings and settings. One's on a river. One's in the sky, all these different, and like Hashem puts you in all these paintings. I said, like, girls, you're city girls, and now you're up here, and Hashem takes this person and puts him in Sternberg, in the woods. They got bear, they got deer, they got raccoons, they got, and all of a sudden you're in this painting with all these different animals. And then you're in this painting, you're in New York City, and then you're on a plane somewhere, and every day you're in a different, he puts you in a different frame. That's amazing. Doesn't leave you in the same frame. And as a Jew, we have the most exciting religion. Guys walk around, sukkahs and Pesach. We have the most exciting religion. We have a holiday every month. And if we don't have one, right? The 1 month we don't have a holiday, we call it Mar Cheshvan. That's a bitter month. We don't have a holiday. We have a holiday every month. We have a Shabbos, boys. We have a Shabbos every week. And then we have a Yontif. You just finished Tisha B'Av. Then you have Tu B'Av. Then you have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres and Chanukah and Purim and Shavuos. And you got Pesach. It doesn't stop. And we're complaining, it's boring. What are the Goyim have? They have one holiday for one day. That's it. One holiday that they all celebrate. I don't want to mention it, in it, but you know what it is, right? And it happens to be good for retail for us. You know, we do good business. It works out, you know? It works out a little bit, you know? But they have this one holiday. That's it. They have no choice. Look what we have. Just take a second, because I don't think... I don't think we appreciate what Hashem gives us. Let's just take a second. Let's just take a second. Rosh Hashanah, right? Rosh Hashanah, we come to shul and we blow a shofar. Do the Goyim have any holiday they blow a shofar or no? Right? They don't. So we blow a shofar. The family gets together. You have all these foods which we're going to learn about. You dip the apple in the honey. I hope I make a lot of money, you know. You have all those different things that you do. You do all your dippings. Pomegranates, you know, and all these different things. And it's beautiful. You sit at the table with your whole family, and Rosh Hashanah is absolutely beautiful. And yeah, you go to shul, and they sing in shul, and the Sfaradim, I used to always be in Eretz Yisrael, you know, for Vasikin, and the Pizmonim that you sing by Slichas, or Ana Hashem Hashiana, and all this stuff. It's amazing. And you have this beautiful holiday of Rosh Hashanah. And then, totally the other way, you come to the Yom Kippur, where everyone's fasting, everybody's crying, everybody's serious. So God is taking you, this emotion, right? It's not boring. And then, right after Yom Kippur, boom, build a sukkah. Right after Yom Kippur, in Eretz Yisrael, more than America, everyone's running around, and they're building a sukkah, and you got to buy a lulav, and an esrig, and hadassim, and a ravas. Right, then you're in Sukkah, then you have Chol HaMoed trips, and then you have Hashanah Rabbah, and then you have Shemini Atzeres, and then you have Simchas Torah. What a fantastic religion. And we keep changing, and you got to buy suits for this, and clothing for this, and you got to buy a Sukkah, and a portable Sukkah, and this Sukkah, and Chol HaMoed, you're going on a trip. And then before you know it, it's Hanukkah. An amazing Yontif. Eight different days, each one's a different Yontif. You say Hallel, you have your candles, and you have your prizes, and you have your Toys R Us. Totally shift from the last holiday, which is Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah, you're dancing with a Torah. Hanukkah, you're in Toys R Us buying presents for your kids. No, it's amazing. We don't understand what Hashem gave us, right? And then you have Purim, which is totally out of here, right? Totally out of Hanukkah. You're eating and you're drinking and you're going to shul and they're making noise. And then when they say Haman, everybody's getting dressed up in costumes. And then, 30 days later, you're already thinking Purim, it's Pesach. And I don't have to tell you what a Seder is like. And Matzah, and Marar. And Hashem gives us all of this. And then Shavuos, you stay up all night. And then in between that, you have Lag BaOmer. And you have Tisha B'Av. And then you have Tu B'Av. You have a whole year nonstop. Inside of all that, every month is Rosh Chodesh. And every week is Shabbos. Ani l'daydi, l'daydi li. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God keeps putting you in a different frame, in a different painting, and you're the main actor. Look how many parts you get to act a year. Every Jew, look at this. We're actors in all these different parts. Now I left Mitzrayim. Now I'm with that guy, Haman and Achashverosh. Now I'm on top of a mountain getting the Torah. Now I'm walking in the desert in a sukkah. It's amazing. But instead of appreciating it, we're like, I don't like my yontif. Let's go to a hotel for Pesach. And let's get a Hanukkah menorah, you know, that lights itself. You know, you just go light on, light off, and the candle goes up. You know, it's like, no problem. And Purim, I hate, because people are knocking on my door. And the answer is, you know, we don't appreciate it. We're not that little kid that puts her hand in Hashem's hand and says, cross me. Because I trust you. I don't, even if I don't know who you are. I don't really know you, but you're God. So there are millions of times during the year where a person could put his hand in Hashem's hand and say, cross me. Get me across the street, Hashem. Get me through my problems. But we don't talk to him. We don't talk to him. So we stand on the other side of the street like the little 7-year-old kid, and we watch all the cars go by, and I can't cross. And they sit there all day. So they learn to ask the adult to cross them. We need to learn to talk to Hashem about everything that we do during the day. Hashem, help me with this. Hashem, help me with this. Right? And I'm not talking about davening out of a sitter. And I'm not talking about benching and making a bracha when you eat something. That you have to do. I'm not talking about what you have to do. What you have to do also connects you, but only if you have the right kavana that it should connect you. Because you could be disconnected and do what you have to do anyway. But when you talk to Hashem personally, from your heart, walking through the woods, picking raspberries, like, God, that's a perfect berry. That's amazing how you made this. Or just to look at, I know you think like I'm very weird, like how I'm talking tonight. But I'm not very weird. I'm telling you that to be happy in life and to get somewhere in life, you got to put your hand in Hashem's hand. And even though this kid doesn't know me, and you say, but Rabbi Wallerstein, I don't know Hashem. He never spoke to me. I never spoke to that kid either. The kid has no idea who I am. He just trusts me. He trusts when he puts his hand in my hand that I'm going to get him across the street in one piece. We need to trust Hashem that he's going to get us across the street in one piece. And that is what Elul is. Elul Hashem is traveling through our world. And all we need to do is, ani l'doydi l'doydi li, is to stick our hand out. And to tell Hashem, God, I need your help. I got a plan. It didn't work last year. I said I'm going to be Mavir the Sedra every week. I said I'm going to get up at 7 o'clock and then I'm going to learn for an hour. It didn't work. I need your help. I need you to help me that this year, whatever I'm going to promise, I'm going to be able to go through. And Hashem will help you. You have my word. You have Rabbi Wallerstein's words. Not much, but you have my word that Hashem will help you. You have to reach out. Your whole day has to be about Him. It has to be connected. It doesn't have to be. It's for your sake. It should be. And that's ani l'daydi l'daydi li. And that will get you to the... That's the plan. The plan is that I want to love you, Hashem. So then after Yom Kippur comes Sukkot. So you're planning, you're putting your GPS in Elul. You're typing in your GPS in Elul that, Hashem, by the time I get to Sukkot, we're going to be best friends. That's what you're plugging in. It's like an architect, you know? The architect draws the plans. The building's not made. The building's not made. But the building is made. You didn't build the building, but once the architect finishes plans, that is what the building's going to be. We in Elul, in the month that's coming, we need to draw what our year next year is going to be. That's our job in the next 40 days. We need to think about it. We need to give it some time. And we need to plan out what we're going to do, how I failed this past year, and how I succeeded. And how I'm going to succeed next year, and how I'm going to try not to fail next year. That's what the month of Elul is all about. Ani l'daydi l'daydi li, putting your hand in Hashem's hand, that He can cross, take you across the street. And there's no one better that can take you across the street than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even if you don't know who He is, right, you do know that you can trust Him. You do know that He's the creator of the world. And I don't mean you got to walk around with your hand up like this, okay? You have to talk. You have to talk to Hashem outside the sitter. And you have to make that connection. Okay, I want to talk a little bit, a subject that I really never really talk about that much, and I really think that it's very, very important. And that is being honest. I don't think I ever gave a chabura, ever, about being honest in money, business, relationships. And this week, in Parshas Ekev, it was a message sent to me, actually, and I'll tell you the story when I get to it. And Baruch Hashem sends messages. I haven't opened the Medrash Rabbah. I haven't given you guys a shir from Medrash in a long, long time. For some reason, this week, I decided to open the Medrash Rabbah. I want to read to you what it says. And it says the following. It's talking about the honesty of human beings. And he says like this. There was a story of Ma'aser of Pinchas ben Yair. There was a great tzaddik, his name was Pinchas ben Yair, and he lived in a city in the south. Okay. Two people came, it's a famous story. Two people came to that city, and they wanted to go on a trip, and they were scared. If they're going to go on this trip, they may get killed. They may get robbed. In those days, they had all these bands of robbers running around. So they gave him two bags of barley. That's what they had on them. And they said to Rav Pinchas ben Yair, listen, we don't know if we're coming back, but we need someone to watch our bags. And all we have is two bags of barley. Do us a favor. Put this in your house. We'll be back in a year. And you'll give it back to us. Okay. He waited a year. The guy didn't show up. The barley seeds began to rot. So he went ahead. There's a whole Gemara on this. What do you do if someone gives you something to watch and it's rotting? Can you eat it? Let's say a guy gives you bananas. He says, I'm coming back tomorrow. You wait. You're watching it in for free. And it's 2 days, 3 days, getting brown. If you're going to leave it there another 2 days, No one's going to be able to eat it. When they come back, it's going to be rotten. Are you allowed to touch it? If someone gives you something to watch, are you allowed to touch it? This is a whole Gemara. There's a lot of Gemaras on this. If someone leaves you a car to watch and he doesn't come back, right? Do you have to start it every day? Do you have permission to start it? He didn't give you permission to start it, but if you don't start the car every day, anyone knows, if you leave a car for a year, it's going to have all kinds of problems. There's many, you have to learn the Gemara, but there's many halacha things. But here he saw that this was rotting. So what did he do? He went ahead and he planted these two bags of barley in the ground. And he had a great harvest, and he harvested them. They still didn't come back. So he went ahead and he took the whole harvest and he planted them. And he harvested again the second year. And they still didn't come back. Finally, they showed up after 7 years. When they showed up after 7 years, listen carefully.